ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5, Chapter 17, Text 12. Translation and commentary by His Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, Founder Acharya of ISKCON. Pranam Devakalpanam Nagayuta Prananam Vajra Sanghanana Bala Vayomoda Pramudita Mahasurata Mithuna Vyavaya Pavarga Varsha Dhrityaika Garba Kalatranam Tatratu Treta Yoga Samah Kalo Vartate. Description of life in the heavenly planets is being given here. Heavenly planets are particularly meant for enjoyment. The next verse will describe some of the situation which lends itself to that heavenly enjoyment, nice parks and gardens and trees and so many nice different things. But the real center of enjoyment is described in this verse, that is sexual enjoyment. And that is more fully described elsewhere in the Bhagavatam, life on the heavenly planets. The demigods, they have big, strong bodies, and the women, very beautiful bodies, and they don't have to use perfume because they don't have a bad smell from their body. Their body emanates a good smell. So the bodily condition of demigods and the devis, or the demigoddesses, that is much, much superior to what is on this planet. And they're given full facility for enjoying each other's bodies. However, that enjoyment, that can also be enjoyed even on this planet, not even in the human species, even in the species of the hogs and dogs, camels, asses, cockroaches, all different species, they are enjoying sex life. It only seems to be better that let us go to the heavenly planets and enjoy there. It seems to be a better situation, but actually it's the same thing. Just like today I've been asked to give a class on brahmachari life. Brahmachari means no sex. The training how to give up sex, even if later he becomes grihastha. The idea is that he's going to go through that to come out the other side. You go in one side with the idea, the philosophy, that I know sex life isn't very good, I have to give it up to go back home, back to Godhead, but anyway, here I go, I have to go through this. Then you come out the other side and say, yes, now I've understood the philosophy, it's really true what it says in the books. Actually, that is discovered just after a few days of entering Grihastha Ashram. But anyway, you take it up and you have to go through with it. Then, when you're fully disgusted, then all right. Even if you're not fully disgusted, panchas urdhvang vanang vrajet. Now you reach 50 years old, give it up by force. Give up that attachment. So the heavenly planets, it may sound very nice, but it's not a very good situation for going home back to Godhead. Because you can just imagine how strong are the feelings for enjoyment. Someone who gets a body like that, it's meant, that body is specifically meant for sexual enjoyment. So how difficult it is for them to give it up. Even us in these miserable, weak little puny bodies with so many bodily defects, someone is too fat, someone's too thin, someone's face is squashed out like this, someone else is pulled out like mine. So still we're feeling so many sexual desires, and we don't even have a very good body for that. Not even a very suitable body. You can imagine someone who has a very big, strong body, like these weightlifters, or this Arnold Schwarzenegger, whatever his name is. I never learned his name, it's difficult. I'm English, I can't say these names very well. So he got such a body because of some desire. Our beautiful woman got the body because of some lusty desire. Let me attract big men, weightlifters, and they can enjoy. And we will enjoy together. So that body they got because of some lusty desire. So very difficult to give up that lusty desire, especially because such a body that will attract the opposite sex. Even if someone is desirous of spiritual life, getting such a body, that kind of body will automatically, because it's very suitable body for enjoyment, will attract the opposite sex. So in the heavenly planets, they're in that situation. Actually, heavenly planets, you can go by some kind of pious activities. Pious activities with the aim of enjoying material life. There are three kinds of pious activities. There is bhogan mukhi punya, mukshan mukhi punya, and bhaktyan mukhi punya. Means, mostly people they are interested in bhogan mukhi punya. Means, the kind of pious activities that will result in some enjoyment. Let me do something pious now, and later I'll build up my bank account of pious activities and I can enjoy. Just like I was talking yesterday about Indradev, he wanted to send the dancing girls to entice the Rishi, Naranarayan Rishi or any other Rishi, that now you stop your austerities because you can enjoy now. The Rishis, they generally do austerities so they can get a very good position for material enjoyment later on. They take on some suffering. Let me suffer now. They'll stand on one leg for 10,000 years, not eat anything, going through many, many difficult austerities. But their aim is that because of doing this, difficult austerities, later I will get a position by which I can enjoy very nicely. So Indra becomes afraid, so he sends dancing girls. The idea is, they're interested in enjoyment, otherwise why are they doing these austerities? So you enjoy now. Take some apsara, enjoy. You know, don't worry about coming to the heavenly planets, you can enjoy now. So in this way he stops them from doing any more austerities, and by indulging them, like getting them to indulge in sense enjoyment, he burns out, he breaks down, wears down their stock of pious activities. So they can't go up to the position of Indra. He stops them. Before they get too much pious, then alright, now enjoy. Spend your punya. So that is bhogan mukhi punya, and all people they're giving cows in charity, and you'll find so many pious people. Yesterday we were reading about Bharatavarsha, where people are engaged in fruitive activities. Tatrapi Bharatam eva varsham karma kshetram. That is the place of fruitive activities, where people they do pious activities for the sake of enjoyment in future. Let us enjoy now and enjoy later. You'll find pious families in India, actually many of them, they're like demigods because they have all the opulences, Janma, Aishwarya, Shuta, Shri, birth in a nice family, sufficient money, good looks, intelligence, but they enjoy life in a pious way, not in a sinful way, family life, beautiful wife, all these different things, and they're also very pious, very good. So that they can get elevated to the heavenly planets in future. So their aim is how we shall enjoy sense gratification, life after life after life. Still, they're not demons. Still, their difference, you'll find even in this Bhagavatam 5th canto, there is described the Billaswarga, the subterranean heavenly planets, where the standard of material enjoyment is even greater in some ways than that of the heavenly planets. That is the planets of the demons. They have great facility for material enjoyment, but they're not pious. They don't recognize the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The demigods, they have that much piety that they recognize, all right, we're enjoying, but the Supreme Lord is Vishnu. And if we get in too much trouble, we'll go and see him. And anyway, we'll worship him a little bit. We have to be good. Be good, worship God, and enjoy life. That is their attitude. It's not very elevated, and it's not very degraded either. That kind of attitude, you can go to the heavenly planets and enjoy. Of course, the nature of the material world is such that it is very contaminating. So even if we go to the heavenly planets, because the motive is to enjoy, and because that motive, even their demigods, there is the grain of demoniac desire. Because the whole desire to enjoy in this material world is in itself demoniac. That in itself is anti-Krishna conscious. So there, Krishna consciousness of the devas That is called mixed devotional service, because it's not pure devotional service. It's mixed with the completely opposite tendency to enjoy this material world separately from Krishna. Or they want to keep Krishna. You stand there, you'll be the boss, and we'll recognize you are Sabhapati. That is the name of one name of Lord Vishnu in Vishnu Sahasranam. Sabhapati means the chairman. All right, you're the boss. So, you're the boss, all right, but let us enjoy. So Krishna says, all right, you enjoy. You become Brahma, you become Chandra, you become Indra, you become Vayu, you become Marutdeva. There's so many different positions. You can enjoy, have a feeling, I'm the boss. But because the idea of enjoyment is there, that can also become degraded. Therefore, one may be a demigod in one life, and he may be a demon in the next life. That is described by Jagadananda Pandit. Kabu Dev, Kabu Daita. In this Charasi Lakha, in this 84 lakhs, 8,400,000 species of life rotating within the universe, sometimes one may become a demigod, and later on he may become a demon, because he's not trying to cultivate pure devotional service. Therefore, sometimes the demigods, when they have a flash of common sense, they think, oh, what am I doing being a demigod? What am I doing here? Simply enjoying, enjoying, enjoying. What is the use? Look at those devotees in ISKCON, on Earth planet, chanting Hare Krishna. They're going back to Godhead. They're much more exalted. They're in much better position than us. So sometimes the demigods, they're praying, let us take birth in Kali Yuga, so we can join in the Sankirtan movement and get free from all this nonsense maya, enjoying life, beautiful man, beautiful woman. Let us go back home, back to Godhead, and join the Sankirtan movement. And in the Sankirtan movement, some of our devotees are thinking, well, I don't know about going back to Godhead, but at least I might become a demigod. They're thinking like that. Let me enjoy life. Let me chant Hare Krishna, and I'll also do some business, get some money, enjoy life, I'll be happy. And I may not go back to Godhead, but then I'll become a demigod, and I can be happy. But not happy. Demigods are not happy. That's the intrinsic nature of the material world, that you cannot be happy. We're thinking, if I get a body like that Arnold, whatever his name is, then I'll be happy. And ladies, I may be thinking, if I get a body like whoever the famous film actress is, I don't know the name, then I'll be happy. But they're not happy. We are thinking, this is great, great power of illusion. We are thinking, if I can get Janma Aishwarya Shruta Shri, then I'll be happy. Birth in a nice family. If only I was born in America. Well, at least let me emigrate to America. Then I'll be happy, living in America. Or Aishwarya, let me get enough money. Let me make some plans, I'll get enough money. Janma Aishwarya Shruta, or I'll become very learned and intelligent. Although in these modern day and age, practically, the society is so degraded and low class that even to have good intelligence and education is not considered very good quality. If one has money and a beautiful girlfriend, or three or four or five beautiful girlfriends, that is considered prestigious. But to have knowledge, why? Because those who have knowledge, they are simply engaged as shudras. And what are they learning? Simply shudra knowledge. How to fiddle around with a computer or build a space rocket. Nothing of any substance. No, there's no interest. Knowledge, who is interested in real knowledge? Who am I? What is the purpose of life? People think this is foolish. Why are you wasting your time sitting here studying Srimad Bhagavatam? Why don't you do something useful? Get a job. Do something useful, like help in the television industry. Something useful, showing cartoons and football games and stupid dramas. Something useful. People can be benefited, so that when they come home from their factory, after working the machine all day, they can watch a cartoon on television. And this way they can get some relief, something useful. Help the society to go on so we can make progress. So knowledge is not considered a very good thing. Of course, if one has knowledge of different, who are all the different, I saw in England, the young boys, they're only 10 years old, they can tell you the names of all the football players in the country, all the top football players, all the results of all the different football games and the cricket games, and they're considered very highly prestigious. Oh, he's a great learned scholar. He knows Manchester United's results for the last 5 years and who scored all the goals and which minute they scored it in. So that they're cultivating knowledge, completely useless knowledge, is of no consequence to anybody except people who are so foolish to take it seriously. What is the result of the football game is? Because after all, it's just nonsense. Just a bunch of grown men running around chasing a piece of leather. So people take it very seriously, but it's nonsense, no sense. It doesn't help anybody. It doesn't make any difference whether Manchester United win or lose, but they think it's very important. Because what does win or lose mean? Win means they put the piece of leather in the between the sticks more times than the others. So what does it matter? It doesn't matter, but they're thinking very important. In different countries, they play cricket, or in America, they play baseball, or basketball, or American football, which is just an excuse to have a big fight. But they take it very seriously. And they knowledge. If you have knowledge of all the different football players, something very prestigious. But this is absolutely useless. I mean, even if you have knowledge of computer or something, we can use the computer to do something useful, to write something, Krishna consciousness, or even material point of view, their idea of useful, the computer can control the factory, or the computer, you can make some newspaper, or so many different things. So there may be some peripheral kind of usefulness. But real knowledge means to understand Krishna. Real knowledge means to inquire into the values of life. What is the meaning of life? But that they have no interest. So Janmaishwarya Shuta Shri, and people are very interested how I can become very beautiful. This is considered the most important thing. Even more important than money is to have good looks and enjoy sex life. Even if you don't have good looks, enjoy sex life. And you see, some of the... Anyway, I don't want to talk too much about these things. But some people, they're not even very much good looking, but somehow or other, they have a way how to attract the opposite sex, and they enjoy. Enjoy, 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 enjoy. So then again, they get the chance. Later on, they'll enjoy, enjoy, enjoy in different species of life. So we're thinking we can be happy by Janma, Aishwarya and Shri. And no one's interested in Shuta. No one's interested in education. Only as a vehicle to get some money by which you can enjoy material sense enjoyment. So we're thinking, let me be happy by these things. But just if we look carefully, who is happy? Just like we may be thinking, again, and I'm giving Brahmachari class today. So Brahmacharis may be thinking, if I could be happy, if I could be happy, I would be happy just to have a nice wife, that's all. Let me enjoy sex, then I'll be happy. But just you look on the street, you're going out on the street every day, look in the faces of the people. Are they not enjoying sex? And are they happy? Are they chanting and dancing? You see what is happiness. Devotees chanting and dancing. You don't see such happiness in the faces of those who are so-called enjoying life, because that enjoyment is not enjoyment. It's only an illusion. Maya, M-A-Y-A. You say in this way, that way, another way, but it's simply illusion. There is no happiness in material life. And we're not convinced. We're thinking, yes, it's very happy. If I could, just little happiness, I'll get nothing. Let me just get married, that's all. Then I'll be happy. But not happiness. Anyone who has any sense, you can understand that happiness, there's got to be more to happiness than getting a wife and children and home and all these things. The standard of happiness has got to be more, and that's right. The standard of happiness is that even if you go to the heavenly planets, that's also not happiness. The standard of happiness means satchit anandamai, eternal, full of transcendental cognizance and pleasure. That is happiness. Happiness means to be with Krishna. We're getting a little flavor of that. Chanting Hare Krishna, serving Krishna, that is real happiness. Seva Sukh, that is described in Chaitanya Charitamrita. What are the residents of Vrindavan doing? Why are they so happy? Because Seva Sukh, they are absorbed in the happiness of serving Krishna. And even in the heavenly planets, because they have Viparita Buddhi, opposite intelligence, therefore they are not happy, even up to the heavenly planets. Even if all your daydreams became true, you got a big strong body, long duration of life, lot of sex life, and not even get pregnant until just before you die. And that's the point. Then you have to die. You have to die. You may think, well, it's great in the heavenly planets. You don't get kids who scream and You think that brahmachari life is austere. Actually, householder life is more austere, because you have the children crying all night. That's one thing. I know, because I travel, especially in India, and staying in different grihastha's houses. So they may be very nice people, very pious people, very devoted people, but still their kids scream all night. That you can't avoid. Even if you're very good, and even if you want to be a very nice devotee, you can't stop your kids screaming all night. And then you get up late in the morning, and they say, just see, he's grihastha, he's in Maya. And they don't know, the kid is screaming all night. So they think, oh, I'll be very happy like this, but not happy. There's no happiness in this material world. This is the Srimad Bhagavatam is describing. The Srimad Bhagavatam is describing the heavenly planets, not so that we'll become attracted, so that we'll become understanding that there's no happiness there. So if there's no happiness even in the heavenly planets, then what to mention on this planet, where the standard of happiness is only minuscule in relation to the heavenly planets. Just like you see, what is the duration of life in the heavenly planets? Our 6 months is equal to one day, and they live such days, such is the length of their day, and they live 10,000 years. So imagine how long their lifespan is. Now, the same thing, the ratio of our lifespan to their lifespan, same thing, the ratio of our happiness to their happiness, material happiness. So you can imagine how much material enjoyment they have, how much maya they must be in to have so much material enjoyment. But still, they're not happy. Because material happiness is simply a myth. There's no happiness. It's only a sensation or a feeling of happiness. Just like there is a feeling of happiness when you drink Coca-Cola. There's a feeling of happiness. Why? Because in the advertisement, they make so many advertisements. Coke is so wonderful. Coke is so great. Drink Coke. Coke is better than Pepsi. If you drink Coke, they show the pictures of young people playing rock and roll music. It's very trendy or fashionable to drink Coke. But after all, when you drink it, it's just some miserable little drink with some bubbles in it and some sugar. And it doesn't taste very good anyway. And there's nothing so wonderful about drinking it. But because there's a big illusion, they've made big advertisements, you think, aha, now I'm drinking Coke, so I must be happy. But it's just a big advertisement campaign. So that's the whole material world is like that. Big, big advertisement campaign. Yes, my dear child, don't join the Hare Krishna movement. Get a job and work hard like me and be happy like me, although how you're happy I don't know. But you go on, be a nice person and you'll be happy. Everyone is big advertisement campaign. You go to university, get a degree, then you can get a good job. What's the difference between good job and bad job? I don't know. Anyway, get a good job. And in this way, you can have a nice house. You can pay off your mortgage after 40 years. And you can retire very nicely and you can go for a holiday once a year for 2 weeks. You can sit on the beach with 10,000 other people. And you can be very happy. They're advertising. You see, they're advertising. Now the summer season is over. They're advertising. Go on holiday. This everybody very faithfully, like a religion. Yes, we will go on holiday. We will fulfill our duty as proper citizens. We will go to the beach and lie on the beach with 10,000 other people, and we will come back and we'll tell everybody we enjoyed it. It was wonderful, although there was nothing enjoyable in the slightest bit. You had to drive in a traffic jam, 30-kilometer traffic jam, to go there. And when you went there, your kids also scream at night. Not that they stop screaming at night, because they're in some holiday place. And you're on the beach with 10,000 other people and getting roasted so your skin goes all red and enjoying. You are enjoying life. So this is, but because this is what you're supposed to do, this is happiness, right? It's happiness. Isn't it? Just so many examples. Rock and roll music, what is this? It's simply people's minds are so disturbed. In rock and roll music, it's also ba-bam, ba-bam. It's also another disturbance. But because they take disturbance to be happiness, and because everybody else says, yes, it's very good, then they think, oh, very good. But they have no idea what is actual happiness. Happiness means the mind, very peaceful, very calm, not disturbed by all material agitations, and thinking of Krishna. That is happiness. Thinking of brilliant thoughts about Krishna. The mind should always be absorbed in thoughts of Krishna. They have no idea. They're simply advertising. Be happy in this material world. Be happy. And where is the happiness? Happiness means eating sausages, having sex, passing stool in a nice toilet. Not a smelly toilet. You can have, if you have enough money, you can have a nice home and you can have a nice toilet and enjoy life very nicely. And read the newspaper while you're passing stool. So, this is the standard of material happiness. Material happiness means it's simply a very big illusion. Therefore, Krishna consciousness means, first of all, to understand that we cannot be happy in this material world. We can only be happy with Krishna. Even if we go to the heavenly planets, it's simply another big illusion. And if we go to the hellish planets, that's also another kind of illusion. People think, I'm happy. Even in hell, they think they're happy. When they're being tortured by Yamaraj, they're thinking, well, this is quite nice, actually. You see, people, they're working in the factory. Horrible job. Dirty, smelly, noisy, all fumes. Horrible situation. And if you ask, how do you like my job? Oh, yes, nice. I like it. Very nice. They're all covered in dirt, and all the bad smell coming, and very dangerous. Oh, yeah, it's a great job. Wonderful. Very nice. So they're thinking, this is nice. Hellish condition. Now this illusion, Maya, is so strong that we're thinking that which is nice, that which is not nice is nice. Asatere shatta karimani. Nitai pada pasharia. Those who forget the lotus feet of Lord Nityananda, those who forget Krishna, they take this material world to be nice. Mahyam dutiya viniveshatasyat. Ishadapityasya viparyayosmati. When we forget Krishna, we come to this world of fearfulness. And instead of serving Krishna and being happy, our consciousness is opposite. Don't need to serve Krishna. Let me serve my senses, then I will be happy. We will never be happy. That is being described in Srimad Bhagavatam. But Srimad Bhagavatam is not pessimistic. Sometimes people say, Hare Krishna people, very pessimistic. They're always talking how the material world is miserable. That is not pessimism, that is realism. And we don't simply say, material world is bad, material world is bad, material world is bad. We say that. We also say, we're not like the Mayavadis, simply all bad, useless. So, spiritual suicide. Merge into the oneness. Or, nirvishesh shunyavad, Buddhist, become nothing. The solution is to become nothing. Now we are something, therefore we are suffering. Then we'll become nothing. No. You become more something. Don't become nirvishesh without qualities, become vishesh. Become full of all transcendental qualities, attain our transcendental position, go back home, back to Godhead, and dance with Krishna. There's no happiness dancing in this material world. Dancing in 84 lakh species of life. Dancing boogie dance, disco dance, different kinds of dance. Dance with Krishna, then we will be happy. That is the positive side. The material world is useless, but the spiritual world, back home, back to Godhead, that is our goal of life. Hare Krishna. Any question? Please. Anyone wants to enjoy this material world? Please go. Enjoy to your full extent. When you've been kicked another few million lifetimes, then you come back here. But then the chance may not be there. Now there's the chance. Sankirtan movement. Chant Hare Krishna, go back home, back to Godhead. Another time there may not be the chance. Any question? Please. In the purport, Prabhupada says, it says there is no sex life, but even if it sometimes does occur, there is no pregnancy at all. So as far as the spiritual world is concerned, Prabhupada used to say, you go there and find out. Now you can't understand. But don't think I'll go there and have sex. Then you won't go there. Then you'll get stuck in the heavenly planets. If you're lucky. More lucky. Otherwise you'll get stuck in the dog body or hog body. Any other question?
Some people who understand reincarnation and accept that I live there in my country if I want to. I don't want to leave my country if I want to go born again.
So you can, if you're so much foolish, you have the opportunity. We're simply giving information that this repeated birth and death is not good. But if you're so foolish that you think it is good, then you can enjoy. But don't, your childhood won't only be human. Then you'll have dog child, you'll be a puppy and a kitten and so many different. You become a tree, duck, so many different species of them. In your childhood you may be taken for slaughter. Those who are killing animals, they like the flesh of young animals, very soft. Any other question? Ah, oh, please. Everything is sense enjoyment, but devotee, he engages his senses in the service of Krishna. He's interested in Krishna sense enjoyment, not personal sense enjoyment. So there's a difference. Just like you can say, yes, chanting Hare Krishna is also sense enjoyment. We also enjoy chanting and dancing, but that is of a different quality to the personal sense enjoyment. Personal sense enjoyment is a very crippled mentality by which we think, let me enjoy, and to hell with anybody else. My sense enjoyment, that is important. But actually one cannot be happy by this, because he's denying his real position as the servant of Krishna. Every living being is meant to engage in activities for increasing Krishna's sense enjoyment. You may think that Krishna is very selfish. Even if you like to think like that, you can, but you can't avoid it, because Krishna is the supreme transcendental aristocrat. He is God. Everyone is meant to engage in his service. But engaging in his service doesn't mean that we become unhappy. It's not like if you go to work in a factory and you simply work for the benefit of the boss and there's no happiness. The only happiness is getting your pay at the end of the week. But by engaging in Krishna's transcendental service, because Krishna is full of transcendental bliss, then by serving him we also become blissful. So when we're chanting Hare Krishna, we don't actually think how I will be happy. We think how by this chanting and dancing Krishna will be happy, and automatically we become happy. So there's a difference in the attitude. Otherwise, taking prasadam, that's also sense enjoyment. But if we take it, oh, let me enjoy. I will cook so many things and stick it in front of the deities, and then okay, they did their job, now I'll take it. Then that's not, that is, we won't be happy by such an attitude. But if we cook so many nice things for Krishna, thinking how Krishna will enjoy, and then we distribute to all the devotees, we'll be so satisfied by seeing the other devotees take nice Krishna prasad, and then when we take, we'll be fully satisfied. Full satisfaction doesn't come from the interaction of the senses with their objects, but full satisfaction comes by seeing Krishna happy and by seeing others happy in Krishna's service. So we can know what is personal sense enjoyment and what is Krishna consciousness by our own attitude. If we're sincerely doing something for Krishna, in Krishna's service, it's not that we're denying happiness. We're not telling people that don't be happy. No, we're saying be happy, but don't try to be happy by sense enjoyment. Be happy by serving Krishna. We're not saying don't be happy, not like that. We're not saying there's anything wrong with being happy. But we're saying that there's no happiness in sense enjoyment. There is happiness only in serving Krishna. Is that clear? That's not harmful, but we should enjoy thinking that, seeing everything, this is an expansion of Krishna's energy. Definitely the woods is better than the noisy, dirty, smelly city. That is in the mode of goodness, comparatively compared to the city. But devotee, he's not going to take the wood instead of the city if in the world there's no opportunity to serve Krishna. That's why we have these centers in the city. We have so many centers, just like in London, we have our center in the worst part of the city, and it's really horrible. It's polluted with the fumes, and it's polluted by all the vibrations of the people who are in a mode of very demoniac sense gratification. But our center is there because that is the best place to preach Krishna consciousness, because there are so many people there. So we're there for serving Krishna. So we can also go to the woods and the jungles, and that is very nice, but for serving Krishna, we have to go to the horrible place also. So intrinsically, we don't like to be in such a nasty place. Naturally, a devotee prefers to be in a place where there are flowers and trees and parks and gardens, which are, they don't put such a nasty vibration. They don't give such a strong demoniac vibration. So for our own self, we may prefer to be in such a place, but for preaching or for serving Krishna, we have to go wherever we have to go. But even in such a nice situation, relatively nice situation, parks and gardens and trees and all this, we have to chant Hare Krishna. And remembering that all this is the creation of Krishna, and that if I become attached to it, that is also a cause of bondage. If we become attached to the trees and the parks and the gardens, then we have to come back again to this material world, suffering birth, death, old age and disease. So when we're chanting in the parks and the gardens, we should be more attentive to the chanting of the holy names than to the trees and the flowers and the fruits. And knowing that even if we like trees and flowers and fruits, we will not be bereft of such things. We'll go back home, back to the spiritual world, and we'll be serving Krishna, dancing with Krishna in the woods. So better, don't be so much attached to the woods. You'll get the woods. Back home, back to Godhead. It may be, but Prabhupada, he wasn't very optimistic about such a program, to tell you the truth. I know you have a rock band in this temple, but Srila Prabhupada didn't like rock music in Krishna consciousness even, to tell you the truth. He did allow, just like we have this Govindam album, which is using modern instruments, and he did allow that Mangalananda's album, Change of Heart, although he wasn't particularly enthusiastic about it, but he allowed him to do it. But when devotees, they made some rock opera, heavy music, the words were things like, you're not this body, but it was ba-bam, ba-bam. Prabhupada stopped it. He said, this is demoniac. So the problem is, I see many devotees, it's like they want to do rock and roll music for preaching, but they get caught. They get caught in the music, in the... Because that rock and roll music, after all, that was produced. Prabhupada said that these rock musicians, they've come from the lower planets to drag people down. So you heard that before? So that vibration by its nature is demoniac. You can put words like you're not this body to it, but the very nature, music, sound affects our consciousness. That's why we chant Hare Krishna. That sound is supposed to purify us. And we have Vedic music also, and we have Gauriya Kirtan, which the very sound of it invokes devotion. Whereas the sound of rock music, it disturbs the mind. That rock music was born of sex, violence, drugs, it's all part of the same culture. So, anyway, different people may say different. You may say people like it, that's true, but it's also true that Prabhupada spread Krishna consciousness all over the world with Hare Krishna Maha Mantra and Mridanga and kartals. And that if we do that, still we'll find many people who are attracted. It's not that people hate Mridangas and kartals. In fact, many people, they like that more because they've seen so many rock groups and this is something different. And they like to chant and dance with us. Hare Krishna. Any other question? You can do. You can put Maha Mantra. You can put Maha Mantra to the sound of a steel crushing machine also if you want. I mean, it's also possible, but really, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Prabhupada sung like very simple, but it's so attractive. So you can do, there's no objection, but especially this very heavy sound, it's actually produced of a very demoniac consciousness. So people who are attracted to such music, they're a long way from Krishna consciousness anyway. So, or even they may like, but better to give them a higher taste. Better give them something better. There's no objection if you use those instruments for chanting Hare Krishna, but this very heavy music, that's the heavy bass, and it's very, we should be cautious of that. Same time, even we use modern instruments, we have to see, is it really necessary or not? Because like I say, Prabhupada spread Krishna consciousness all over the world during the hippie times, when music, all these things was new, and it was for the hippies, it was all a very amazing thing. But he spread it with Madanga and Kartals. So if we can bring people to Krishna consciousness with Madanga and Kartals and Prasadam, and Bhagavad Gita as it is, then is it really necessary that we do this? Then we have to see. Then we have to ask. In other words, are we really doing it for preaching, or are we dovetailing it for preaching, or are we simply dovetailing our own material desire? That we have to see. You have to be careful also. So, any other question? Hare Krishna. Jai Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.